February 25th, 1995, and this is Making Contact with the Angelic Realm with Lillian Van Bora. Well, I think I want to start today just by giving you a little overview about the Angelic Kingdom from my perspective. I see angels as being some forever. It's really difficult when I try to focus in my mind to think about a time when they began or whatever. They're talked about as being perfect intelligence or perfect ideas, and that they emanate directly from God. And they really are representatives of the Great Spirit and the work that God does in all kingdoms throughout all universes. They are the first representatives of that source. And as such, they are what we think of as being perfect beings. They're so aligned with divine intelligence that they don't have free will as we do. And their work is totally aligned with the divine consciousness or divine intelligence. And then the angels that are nearest to us, of course, are our guardian angels, with whom we are going to do some work today. That'll be happening probably this afternoon. And that group of angels in particular is a group that has aligned itself with humanity. And the guardian angel that you have now at this particular lifetime is probably the same one that made a commitment to come in when you made your first decision to come into human experience on this planet. So they've been with us forever. It's not like it's a new job or anything like that. And they're constantly not only on guard, but they constantly uplift, inspire, encourage, bring forward ideas and encouragement when you need it. They do a lot of protecting and warning too. And I've got some personal experiences that I've had over the years with my own guardian angel that I'll share with you throughout today. But that's not their only purpose. They also try to bring us to the right teachers, the right places to live, the right people and relationships that we made a commitment to interact with before coming in. So their work is kind of all-encompassing and pervading. Now, the archangels are a level above the guardian angels, and they are really the messenger group. And it is the archangels that are mentioned in the Bible just very briefly, particularly Michael and Raphael. And Michael's season is the autumn season, and his season just finished, and we're now in the season of winter, which is overlighted by Archangel Gabriel. And we'll talk a little bit about Gabriel also a little bit later today, but he is the one who does a lot of the foretelling or announcing. And I think it's kind of appropriate that his season is in winter, because he kind of prepares us for all the great creative energies that happen in the spring. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but as we moved into 1995, for myself in particular, I felt an immediate kind of inpouring of creative energy. And I think if we're aware of it or able to be open to it, this whole year is going to be like that. So it's an exciting but intense time. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, what's happening with the planet at this particular time. One thing I want to say about the Angelic Kingdom is that there are people that are kind of teaching that the angels are really able to become human and that kind of thing. That's really not my perception. I see them as a parallel life stream in that they support all of the evolutionary work that's going on this planet and in all the other universes and throughout this particular galaxy and everything. But I don't believe they actually take human form. Sometimes when they appear, they'll come in the disguise of being a human being, so that we can see them and work with them if that's necessary, get the information that they've brought for us at that particular time. But to actually say that they've incarnated as human beings, or they're evolving, or we're evolving into angels, that just isn't my perspective. I think we're two individual parallel life streams that really complement one another. The angels assist us in our growth, and we in turn act in angelic ways very much of the time, because we are a soul, and the soul is actually the divine, or you can think of it as the angelic part of you. It's that aspect of yourself that is truly connected with divinity, and we'll also be talking about the soul later on today. So that's the closest I can say that we become to being really like angels. The soul is so vast and expansive, and is much more directly aligned with the spiritual than our personality is, or this human person that we are. Some of the things that angels have done in our past, when you think of the great poets, the great artists, the great inventors or scientists, the great physicians, one of their works is to inspire and uplift humanity so that we can be the best that we were meant to be. And when there is an individual who has done a lot of preparatory work and then comes into the planet to really serve humanity, they are really there to inspire and assist them. So along the line of musicians, I think of people like Chopin in particular, who really carried the heart of Poland. Mozart, who came in extremely early, fully developed musically. Handel, with some of his great works, especially the Messiah. And I know at the end of his writing of that work, which was done in a very compressed time, he said that his entire room was full of the company of angels. He could see them. And he heard the Hallelujah chorus, and what he was able to write is a distillation of what he really heard on the inner level with his inner hearing rather than just the physical ears. When you think of scientists, Tesla immediately comes to my mind in this country. His work isn't very well known at this point, and there's very little that's written about him. But he's a scientist that was able to see into the fourth dimension and often saw what it was that he was going to create or bring into this planet before he actually knew even what it was or how to make it, how it would serve us. And some of the things that I've read about him is that he discovered an energy which is not electricity, but which is an ever-present energy that would power everything that we needed, bring us light and heat and everything. And that was kind of overshadowed by some of the other inventors at the turn of the century, and somehow never was brought about before his death. It was very difficult for him to get funding and everything. But he is one of those people who is really divinely in tune and always got information through his dreams, as did Einstein, and listened to that information, didn't just laugh it off. He made very detailed notes. And of course, some of the great medical breakthroughs that we've had, Raphael, who is the archangel of all the healing arts and work, he and his angels have really overlighted people who are trying to bring about new information, particularly right now about the cure for AIDS. What AIDS really is, what is that energy all about? Cancer is another area that he's really working with. Heart disease, another. How that's much more than what it appears at a surface level. So that's part of the work that they do. Now, I mentioned that sometimes angels will appear in human form, and there are lots of stories, lots of angel stories about their appearance. And when they do appear, they're always seen as extremely beautiful. The eyes are usually extremely remarkable and intense, color-wise, and just in the gaze. And they usually appear as very vital and youthful. And their reason for appearing as human is often to get us to really hear what's going to be said or be open to the ideas that are going to be presented. But angels can take any form that will get our attention. So I want you to let go of the idea that they come as brilliant shafts of light with great wings or whatever. The few times that I've really had an angelic encounter that's kind of full-blown, I don't see wings in particular. What I see is their energy field, which is vast, and great swirls of light and color. And it's easy for me to see how that can be interpreted as wings. If you think of that light moving in that way. So sometimes your angel will really come to you just as a feeling of warmth and protection, or you'll hear a voice. And we'll do some talking this afternoon about how to distinguish that particular voice, especially your guardian angel's voice, from the voice of your own personality or ego or your other guides and teachers, and what the criteria is for that. They also embody all of the great qualities. Anything you can think of that is uplifting or expansive, or that's kind of what we think of as a perfect situation. There are angels of joy, angels of birth and death, angels of enthusiasm, angels of play, angels of creativity, music, art, medicine. There's an angel for everything that you can think of. Just checking everything out, huh? There are probably more angels than we can conceive of with our mental, with our intellect. There are angels of morning and night, an angel for every hour. There are the angels of, there's angels of study. I'm constantly recommending my daughter to stay in contact with these to help her remember what it is important to remember for her exams up at Davis. There are angels of relationship and just anything that you can think of, there is an angel for that. If you have an automobile that's giving you trouble, you really should probably contact the Deva, the intelligence and the angelic being that overlights that mechanical, that machine. When you build a home, there is an angel that comes present to assist you in color scheme and what furniture is appropriate, how it should be placed. It really pulls the energy of the home together, all that kind of thing. So, good. She's building.
And I'll be driving because I can't find the right place, but then I'll kind of remember, oh, there's this other tile place over here, so I'll go and I'll walk through and see the exact thing and the exact color. And that was the contact yesterday, so you are doing a really good job. And
yeah.
Because I started with the idea that the whole house, you know, that you can get your tile and color. And I find it, you know, for mica, carpet, everything in marble and my color. And they're there, and I'm not knocking myself out.
Mm-hmm.
Find these things. They're, you know, just wander slightly out of the way. Oh, there's the store, and go in, and there it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love that.
Even like taking samples that the people in the store are going, oh no, I've worked with this contractor, all his clients are, you know, I never ask his clients for a deposit.
That's nice.
It's just been amazing. Because 4 years ago when I remodeled, I agonized over every decision, and this is just like cold to follow this way.
It's a lot easier. A lot easier. And it's true for everything that you do in your life, whether you're job hunting, you're working with your children, your relationship, what you should wear. I've often gotten information. I think I have in my mind what I'm going to wear the next day or whatever, if I'm going to work, and I just get information sometimes that you need a different energy that a different color will carry, and I have no clue why, but it's made clear later in the day. So they're constantly bringing you information. It's just the ability to be open that seems so difficult for us, and to be receptive. Sometimes, I'll tell you a story later on, sometimes I get the information, and I just totally deny it, you know, or that couldn't possibly be, and of course, I'm completely wrong usually, and later wishing I had listened a little better or a little deeper. So lots and lots of stories like that. Oh, I wanted to review just really briefly to give you more of an idea of what's out there. I do a class on the nature kingdom, and in particular talk about fairies and elves and water spirits and all of that. But for the angels in particular, each of the major kingdoms that we have, earth, air, fire, water, there are major angels that overlight all of the workings of those kingdoms. And so for fire, for instance, you have mighty angels that work with volcanic activity, or if there is a fire, a forest fire, that to us appears to be really harmful and, you know, raging out of control, there is a work that's happening there for a purpose. Fire is almost always cleansing and of a healing nature, and there is an angel that works with how the fire moves and how big it gets, how intense, all of that kind of thing. The air or sky angels, the great angels of the storms like hurricanes, tornadoes, the great storms out on the ocean, the rain and the wind, all of those things are guided and brought forward by the work of the particular angels that are in charge there. And it's amazing. If you ask, they will work with you. I had one story I'll share with you from my childhood. We had a terrible fire when I was a kid, and we're so certain that my parents' ranch was going to be destroyed. Do you remember this, Val? They called it Black Thursday or something. I can't remember the whole neighborhood. I don't know if it went over as far as your place. We lived near each other when we were growing up, so It was, yeah, when we were probably early teenagers. Or, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was happening for acres and miles all around us. It was just a massive fire. Lots of wind. Oh. Mm-hmm. That's right. What a shock. Anyway, what I recall is my mother being terribly frightened, and of course my parents thinking they would lose their property, their home, everything. And my mother just galvanizing us to pray the rosary for one thing, but the other thing was to petition the angels to protect us. And she gave us holy water, and you know, we ran around out in the acreage sprinkling holy water everywhere on your favorite tree or in your room or whatever. And we petitioned the angels. She did not specifically petition the angels of fire, but she petitioned the angels of protection and all our guardian angels. We were just calling on them constantly. Well, the fire kind of burned all the way around us, but it didn't burn any of our property. Some of our neighbors had sheep that they had in a run next to us, and their sheep, I think they lost some of their sheep, and one of their outbuildings was burned and things. So it was just right up against us. But it never entered really the perimeter of our property. That was such, that really made proof to me that the things that I had been seeing and hearing by that time were really real, and you could also work with them, ask for assistance. If it's in divine order for the highest good of all, they'll really, really come through for you. I've just had numerous occasions of that. And also, I just want to mention briefly, the mighty mountains in this state, in this country, and in the world all are overlighted by a mighty angel that oversees not only the workings of the mountain and all the forest beings and everything in particular, but the whole outlying area. The angel that overlights the mountain has an enormous auric field. It's like miles big. And so that's why sometimes when you are driving toward a mountain, you can feel it before you actually get there. You're kind of bumping into the angel's auric field that is overlighting the mountain and its work. So in this state, we've got the angel of Mount Shasta, Mount Lassen. In Washington, you've got Mount Rainier, Whitney. We've got the Continental Divide angel in the United States, the angel that works with the whole Sierra. And these are very mighty beings. They just, their work is very large and sometimes difficult for humans to make contact, but you can be aware of them just by driving. Also, sometimes one of the reasons humans are drawn to either the oceans or great bodies of water or the mountains is the power that's contained there through the presence of the angel that works in those areas. And you just intuitively know you're going to be healed or cleansed or uplifted, revitalized when you go to those places. So we just came back from a weekend in Yosemite, which is a very, very sacred place. And there's a mighty presence that overlights. And you can just see it as you see that whole valley, El Capitan and Half Dome and the Three Sisters and the cathedral spires and all of that as you're coming to go into that valley. It never phases to just blow my heart open. Never phases me. I mean, it never fails to not make my heart open. Always does. So they are everywhere in nature. I want to briefly share with you some things you can do in your own life that are really simple things for angel contact. And then we'll be more specific later in the day. The number one thing is just to ask. If you have a need or if there is something that you're looking for, just ask. And your guardian angel will immediately begin to work with you in that regard. And if the guardian angel cannot assist you in the way that's really needed, it will call on others to come and assist. So asking is prime, mainly because we have free will. They can enlighten and uplift, encourage, bless us, but they cannot do anything that overrides our free will. So once you ask, you begin to align yourself with the angel's energy and allow them then into your life. Of course, prayer, meditation, or times of reverie or quiet, bless you, are good ways to contact the angels because you're in a still place then, and so you're more apt to be open to receiving information or inspiration that they might bring you. Reading about them is an excellent way to open our minds and deepen our information. Often they will come to us in the dream state and bring information or solace, support. encouragement. Sometimes they'll try to get you to lighten up, and you might have dreams of dancing or laughing or playing with people. It's often an encouragement to bring that into your own life. What else have I got? Oh, candlelight. Angels are light. They are light beings. They do not have dense bodies as we do. So candles are always a good way to attract them into your home. If you've noticed, in all the major churches in the world, there are candles. It's just, it's part of evoking that presence, the sacred, the angelic. Flowers and fragrance are also another way to bring angels into your home. At Christmas, I love to have lots of candles, lots of natural greenery. I've got juniper and cypress and cedar and things like that in my yard, so I'll usually cut some of that and bring it in. And when you do that, you're not only drawing in the angels, but you're bringing in the nature spirits that help those things to grow as well, and it brings a blessing into your home. Celebration times are an easy time to make contact with angels, your own birthday in particular, but all the other great times of celebration in your life, like if you get married, your wedding day, baptisms, bar mitzvahs in the Jewish faith, any times of celebration nationally, like Christmas, Easter, the 4th of July, Memorial Day, all of those holidays, especially the 4th of July in this country, were inspired by angels to be brought into manifestation as a day of remembrance or celebration or whatever it is. So that's a really good time to make contact. And then I have here, of course, being in nature and expressing your appreciation. All of the great national parks in this country, and then all of the great places that have been set aside worldwide in other countries for nature, they're easy places to really come into contact with the angelic presence. And in this country especially, I'm very certain of this, all of the parks that have been created were divinely inspired as places of healing and reverence, just feeling into nature, which is so healing for us. So those are all overlit by angels. I've got down here, especially Yosemite, Bryce Canyon, Zion, some of the other great parks. And then another way, of course, to make an easy and effortless contact with angels is through connecting with your own divine soul. And that is a process that we will be doing probably this morning. Your soul is in the heaven world. I might speak of us as being spirit flowing through these bodies. And so you have your soulic energy or your soul flowing through the body. But the vast being that the soul is resides in the divine and is divinely connected to our source. And it is that angelic part of us. So if you remember that you are spirit and that your soul can bring you assistance, guidance, direction, all of those things, you have an angelic part of yourself that you can connect with at any time. And that makes an angelic connection really, really easy. Okay, I've just got a few notes about what they can do, but I've pretty much talked about that. They're just unlimited in what they can do to assist us or support us. There's nothing you can't ask of them. And always if you ask that it's for your highest good or for the highest good of whoever you might be asking for instance, if there is a healing or someone is ill, if you ask that it be for that person's highest good and in divine order, whatever that is at this time, then it always moves in the way that is appropriate for that person or for yourself if you're looking for a new job. Whenever I make a change, I always ask that I be divinely guided to where I can serve the greatest and where I can learn the most, whatever that is. My intellect has an idea of what it thinks is right, but very often I'm drawn into a place that's way off what I would think I'm supposed to be doing or want to be doing. Okay, so that's just kind of a little overview. I wanted to say, too, before I forget, if any of you have any questions or anything that you want to share or add, please feel free to do that, because I usually just kind of keep going. So if you have a question, please interrupt, or if you want to share something. I want to talk briefly about 1995 and the energies that we're experiencing in this year. It's always really good as we come to the close of an year a year to prepare us ourselves on all levels, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and physically, for the energy that's coming in at the new year. It's the end of our yearly cycle. And at the end of a cycle, there's always a great completion and a finishing up that's going on. And then you're always asked to open to receive whatever it is that's coming in next. And it's always bigger than it was last time. So in January of this year, we had a remarkable, I feel, downpouring, if you like to think of it that way, or inflowing of energy that's very cosmic in nature. It's very accelerated. And of course, since we're in the last decade of this century, it's going to continue to accelerate. It's not going to slow down. And I clearly recall last year, the first 2 months of the year, all of my clients and many friends and relatives just seemed like they couldn't get their feet on the ground for 1994. It was difficult. Things felt chaotic or unfocused. And this year I'm getting the same kind of feedback, only more so. The thing I hear most frequently is, I can hardly keep up. I feel like I'm hanging on by my fingernails. I can't get my breath. I can't seem to get organized or be focused or whatever that is. And I think part of the difficulty that happens for those of us who aren't really awakened fully at this time is that we haven't integrated the energies that the new cycle has brought forward. And it's massively creative. There will be so many changes this year. I feel that it'll just be remarkable. I think there are going to be tremendous discoveries made in the realm of archaeology, for one thing. I feel that's one thing that's coming up. I don't know if any of you read in the Bee, but one of the things that they thought they had discovered recently was Alexander's tomb in some place way out of Egypt, not buried in what they thought was Alexandria, like they thought, or something. So there's lots of excavation going on about that. There have been some remarkable findings in South America, and what I'm waiting for is some more records to be discovered and some more teachings. I think that's coming, but it might be still later. Anyway, we're going to do a process to integrate the New Year's energies through all of our bodies. It's subtle, but it's really important, and it helps you to focus and allow these energies to flow through a lot more easily and with less effort or less intensity, I might say. As human beings, we're really sensitive, and when you have a new year energy come in that's as powerful as this, the earth is making her shifts and changes, and sometimes we kind of stay stuck and aren't as flexible as we ought to be. That's one thing I had to mention, too, are all of the earthquakes that we've had since the year changed. The first, of course, is in Kobe, Japan. I've talked about Japan a lot over the last 8 years, I guess. I don't know if some of you have heard me talk about this before, just bear with me. But my sense about Japan is that her heart has basically been kind of constricted or closed down, and she's really been asked for at least the last 10 years to reawaken to the beautiful energies that Japan really does carry at a heart level. And the rest of the world needs what her heart energy is. But instead, since the war, since World War II, Japan has really kind of aligned herself with Western technology and indeed has surpassed us repeatedly in lots of ways, not the least of which is the field of computers and all forms of communication. And my sense about 8 years ago was that if Japan did not reawaken to her heart energy and hold what she had been asked to hold on this planet, probably there was going to be some massive transformation physically. And at one point I was literally told that if Japan did not reawaken the heart, that she would probably go into the sea. So it was quite shocking to me. I've kind of just let that stay on the back burner and don't talk about it very frequently. I don't do a lot of predictive kind of things, but occasionally something like that will come through. And then when this earthquake happened in January, it really shook me because it was so massive. I think it was 7.2.